All right, we have. Looks like we have Dr. Leck, did you join in?
I am.
Great. Just as a reminder before we get started, if everyone could put your microphones on mute until we call on you. Before we get started with roll call, is I wanted to introduce Roberto Pulver. Roberto is our new Assistant Attorney General. And we appreciate it. We've had a number of conversations over the last month since Seamus's departure. So Roberto is doing a great job in helping us tremendously. So thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
And Mr. Romano, we have quorum, so we can get started.
Tremendous. Well, welcome, Mr. Pulver. We're happy to have you. All right. My name is Michael Romano. I'm the Vice Chair of the Arizona State Board for Private Postsecondary Education. And I would like to call the April 27, 2023 meeting to order at 10:02 a.m. The board may go into executive session for the purposes of obtaining legal advice pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A3 on any matter on the agenda. The board reserves the right to change the order of the agenda items with the exception of hearings. Mr. LaMountain, are there any changes to the order of the agenda today?
Mr. Romano, there are no changes.
Wonderful. With that, let's move to item number two on the agenda, roll call, if you would, Mr. LaMountain.
Dr. Leck?
Here.
Dr. Leck is here. Mr. Romano?
Here.
Mr. Romano's present. Mr. Ball?
Here.
Mr. Ball is present. Mr. Wallace?
Here.
Mr. Wallace is present. We have Dr. Mittman, who is absent today. Okay. And for staff, I'm Kevin LaMountain, Executive Director. Mr. Keith Blanchard?
Here.
Mr. Blanchard is here. Ms. Jacqueline Rome?
Here.
Ms. Rome is here. Ms. Noel Vetter?
Here.
And Noel is here. And as we just introduced, Roberto Pulver, who is our new AG. So all are here and accounted for, and we have quorum.
Very good. All right, we'll move on to item number three, declaration of conflict of interest pursuant to ARS 38-503. Fellow board members, are there any conflicts of interest you need to declare at this time? All right. Hearing none, we'll move to item number four on the agenda, our minutes. As a reminder, the state board policy for the recording of minutes is to audibly record all meeting minutes, all meetings, and post them to the website. Mr. LaMountain, can you confirm the audio minutes of the February 23rd, 2023 meeting have been posted and are audible?
Mr. Romano, I can confirm that they are posted and audible.
Thank you very much. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I motion, Dr. Leck.
Thank you, Dr. Leck. Scott Wallace. Do I have a second?
Scott Wallace seconds.
Very good. With that, Mr. LaMount, would you take roll?
Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye with a vote of four ayes, but no nays. That motion passes.
Very good. Thank you. We'll move on to item number five, which is review and discussion of the executive director's report. Mr. LaMountain.
Great. Mr. Romano, members of the board, in your board folder, I've put in some information from the from my report, some financial information. I will go over very quick. For PV 2056, which is our operations account, the beginning fund balance was $297,585. The total revenues for the period were $396,237. The revenues of $405,861 came from the regulatory licenses. We are currently at 74% of our appropriation for the year, which is about where we need to be. There's 2 months left in the fiscal year, and we're right on track with where we wanted to be so that we come right in that 92-93% plus range for our general appropriation for that. I did want to provide for the next account, which is the 3027, which is the Student Tuition Recovery Fund. We have fallen below, as I mentioned last month during our board report, that we would more than likely fall below this year. We just fell under the $500,000 minimum, and we're at 494,462. So as stated last time, we will be once again this year billing the institutions for the Student Tuition Recovery Fund. Those will go out in mid-July with a due date in 1st of October, similar to what we did last year. Assuming no catastrophic school closures, we believe that this would put us into a position where we will not need to invoice for a Student Tuition Recovery Fund for the 2024 year. But that is all dependent on the potential of any catastrophic school closure. There's other additional information in there that I put in, the number of schools that have closed. We've had a few that have closed recently. None of them will affect the Student Tuition Recovery Fund. They closed in an appropriate manner, and or they are continuing business but just moving from Arizona and moving back to their home states. I don't know if there's any additional questions on that. I do have a couple of things that I wanted to remind you. We're currently in the midst of completing our sunset review for this year. I want to thank the staff. They've been great. We've been working diligently about 4 months ahead of schedule, which is good, in a good position to be. I have sent out a letter of requesting support from our institutions for inclusion in this report. We've received quite a few responses back already, so we're very pleased at the direction that's going. And that will, once the sunset review report is completed, I'll provide that to all board members for your review. And as a reminder, that will go to the legislature at the end of this year. And then we will go next year in the 2024 year, calendar year, in front of the legislature to talk about the contents of the sunset review report. All of our staff will be attending the NASAPS conference, which starts this Sunday here in Phoenix. We're very excited about being the host city this year. So we've got a little over 205 attendees coming to that throughout from all of the state regulators and schools throughout the United States. So we're very excited about having actually what will be the largest NASAPS conference that we've ever had. So that's exciting. And I also wanted to let you know that we have a few board appointees that are going through the review process from the governor's office. And we anticipate having a full board, hopefully, by the time we get to May. If not, certainly by the time we get to our August board meeting, we should get to that point where we would have back up the full 7 members of our board. And I believe that's it. Are there any questions?
No, that's very helpful. Thank you,
Mr. Lamont.
Hearing none, we'll continue on. If I can find my place again. To item number 6, review and discussion regarding Aspen University's quarterly report to the board. Mr. Lamont, would you like to provide any type of update, and then we'll have the school acknowledge and make any comments?
Mr. Chair and the members of the board, in your board package there, you will notice some additional updated financials that came in mid part of this week. So they hopefully have had a chance to review those, along with the report from Aspen University that would also be in your folder. So outside of that, no additional information.
Okay, thank you for that. And I see Dr. St. Arnold on the call, and I'd just like to say thank you very much for the one-pager update of the financials as well. That was very helpful to just go through as well. But Dr. St. Arnold, if you would like to make any updates to the board that you think are relevant.
Yes, thank you so much. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for inviting Aspen to come here today in connection with our monthly update under the stipulated agreement. Joining me today is Aspen's VP of Finance, Mr. Michael LaMontagne, and he can provide answers to questions the board may have about Aspen's finances. Also in the meeting is our outside counsel, Mr. David Garner. Aspen has been busy serving our students in all of our programs while meeting the requirements before us from the various regulatory bodies. First, we've met with the Board of Nursing to discuss next steps moving forward, hired an approved ombudsperson to monitor our clinicals, extended our contract with our consultant, and have made all necessary changes to implement the requirements of the amendment to the consent agreement starting April 25th. We've heard from our accreditor, DEAC, and have a special site visit scheduled for June 13th to ensure we are meeting the standards identified in the show cause. We've uploaded our first submission to the Department of Education for reimbursement under HCM2. We are still in the financial aid program review process from the U.S. Department of Education and stand ready to answer any follow-up questions they may have. We have timely submitted all of the reporting that's been required of us by our various regulators, including this board. Finally, we've implemented an additional restructuring within the company that Michael will speak to, though none of that impacts the academic services to our students. And with that, Michael can provide some additional context relating to the financial information that's been provided to you in connection with our monthly report. Michael?
Thank you, Sherry. Good morning, everybody. I submitted both financial statements for Aspen University as well as our parent company, AGI, month ending, it's 11 months ending March 31st, 2023. Today, my comments will be high level to go over Aspen University as well as our parent company, covering specifically for Aspen February and March variances that because we just as we met last month. And then the AGI comments will be relative to the 10Q that we submitted that we reviewed a couple of months ago. Aspen University's revenue increased in March by $2.9 million, and the new university year-to-date has generated $37.6 million. The cost of goods sold remained flat at 42%, with our gross margin remaining at 57%. Our general and administrative costs have reduced and will continue to reduce. They're currently at 39% as our teach out of our pre-licensure program continues. Operating income increased by 16.8% in March from $2.7 million to $3.1 million year to date. Moving on to the cash at Aspen University decreased from February to March by $450,000. While you would also see other current assets increased by $1.3 million. This is primarily due to the HCM2 receivable. The first HCM2, as Sherry alluded to, submission was made approximately 2 weeks ago, and we continue to work on the second file submission to be ready as soon as the first submission is funded. As you can see, our accounts payable has remained consistent and flat month over month. Vendors continue to be paid within 30 days of receipt as displayed in our accounts payable month over month. With regards to the cash at the parent company, AGI, unrestricted cash at March 31st was $2.1 million, as you can see. We will continue to see an improvement in our cash flow due to the completion of our third round of restructuring that we just completed here in our fourth quarter. And we now have an estimated quarterly savings of approximately $650,000 due to those restructurings. And as Sherry also alluded to, the positions that were eliminated do not include any instructors or other positions that have direct impact on student outcomes or academic operations and support. The other thing that we completed March 31st, we completed a company-wide offering of a one-time 25% discount to all graduates and alumni still making payments under their MPP program and all other payment types. These efforts generated approximately company-wide $3.6 million in cash flow under this program that ended March 31st. Our company-wide reduction in marketing expense helped increase the company's overall gross margin from 55 to 60%, and the restructuring efforts decreased the G&A costs year over year in the 11-month period by roughly $5 million. Our adjusted EBITDA is increased to a positive $1.3 million in the current 11-month period compared to a loss of that prior month, 11-month period a year ago, predominantly due to the restructuring and the marketing spend. The last comment I would make is that the company has signed a term sheet with the prospective
accounts receivable lender identified by our consultant Lampert Capital Advisors. Due diligence efforts are nearly complete, and we are working on closing a final loan document. The facility will provide approximately $10 million of gross proceeds and is expected to close by mid-May. That concludes any remarks that I have and available to any questions.
Mr. LaMontagne, I know, I believe last time the update was you were closing out on that third party service. Was there a delay there, or was the timetable really to be done in around the May timeframe?
Yeah, the timetable was, you know, our third party servicer Lampert has been looking for possible opportunities for servicers to service that AR facility, and we've had a challenging time determining who's going to be the right servicer for that. And anyway, so we found one that is working with us, and so that's been why there's been a delay. Nothing other than that. So,
okay. I know you had also mentioned, and Dr. Sandel, you may want to speak to this as well. I know you mentioned kind of a restructuring and maybe a slight downsizing in some areas, although not education or related. Can you help maybe put some more color on that? I don't know if that's, you know, we have a sensitivity around the appropriate level of administrative capacity at the and oversight management. So could you give any perspective on if those areas were impacted in this restructuring?
Sherry, do you want me to respond, or are you good?
Well, you can go ahead, and then I'll follow up.
Yeah, I was going to say predominantly most of the restructuring occurred within the parent company. From overhead that was shared services that were that could be restructured into a more conclusive way for the universities to manage. So that's predominantly where the restructuring has occurred. The restructuring is not predominantly at the university level, although we have made sure we're managing to the appropriate staffing levels, both in our G&A as well as in our instructor costs at the universities, but mostly the restructuring was at our parent company.
Right. Thank you, Michael. The significant amount was there. And then as our teach out continues, we do have elements of full-time faculty that are no longer teaching any of the courses. And so we had a graduation in August and had a faculty or two from that.
Right. That's helpful. Thank you. I think our concerns as well, obviously, different communications, different messaging that's taking place. Obviously, the school is trying to stay in front of that with the students, while at the same time, students may have questions, may be reaching out. We just want to ensure that the school is equipped to be able to not only service the students academically, but also in the other needs as they progress through the program, to make sure they're getting timely responses to questions and the other support that's offered. Are there any concerns, Dr. St. Arnold, from the restructuring that would give you pause in that particular area?
No, not at this time.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'll turn it over to my fellow board members to see if they have any other questions. All right. Hearing none, we realize you are providing a monthly update, so we'll see you again in May. We look forward to that update. Mr. LaMontagne, it seems like you may have a question.
I just do have one question for Mr. LaMontagne. Is Aspen University current, and I think I heard you state that, on all past due accounts payable?
The statement I would make to that is yes, we are current on all past due accounts payable. We do have we do have reconciliations with our landlords about when we would be able to make those payments. So we do have those structures in place, but all other accounts payable are caught up and in place.
Okay. Including all regulatory agencies?
Yes. Yes. We just paid our DEAC payment yesterday, actually.
Okay. Thank you. That was it, Mr. Romano.
Thank you, Mr. Romano. Thank you, Mr. LaMontagne. I don't often get to say LaMountain and LaMontagne together, so thank you for that opportunity.
Sure.
All right.
I do want to make one correction. I think DEAC isn't due till the end of the month. So, Michael, while we reconciled things yesterday, I don't know that the actual bill has been paid, and it won't be till the end of the month.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry.
Dr. Luck.
I'm sorry. I have a quick question. Dr. St. Arnold, on the website, on the pre-licensure program at the top, it says that you're no longer accepting students, but the entire page is all about the program the way it was. Does that have to come down, the pre-licensure program page alone?
As long as we have students in the program who may need that information for whatever, we leave that up with a caveat that we're not enrolling any more students. When our final cohort is taught out, then we'll take it down.
Okay, and that's December?
Because we have some in other states yet, but it's about done.
Got it.
In 2024.
Got it. Thank you.
All right. Well, again, we appreciate you taking the time to put together the financials and the summary statement of that. We look forward to that same type of response at our next meeting. And please continue to stay in communication with our staff here if any updates take place or any additional meetings need to occur. So we thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Mr. Romano.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we will move on to item number 7 on our agenda, which is review, discussion, and possible action on the following pending licensure applications. And so the first one we have up is a renewal application with LS Coding, and I am the lead on that one. Before we start, Mr. LaMountain or Mr. Blanchard, any updates that you would like to provide in regards to the school?
Mr. Romano, members of the board, typically this type of a renewal application would not come before the board. It is done at a staff level. The challenge that we've had, as it's spelled out somewhat in the board report that you have before you, is that this particular institution has been void of communication to our board staff. We are at a point where this particular license expired on April 30th. We're here, March 31. So their license has expired. We've requested for the previous 4-month window, additional information that was not received. The first time I've had a communication with the institution, which was with Ms. Krebs last week, it provided some insight, which was good. I will tell you this morning, we received a lot of the information that I've been requesting for 4 months. I received that at 8:30 this morning. Staff has not had an opportunity to look at any of it. We don't know what we have. We don't know what it looks like, and we don't know any other additional questions that we have at this point regarding the information that was provided this morning. Again, typically this would not go before you because we solve these issues prior to the expiration of the license. So that said, that's what I have for an update.
Thank you, Mr. LaMountain. Do we have Ms. Jones or Ms. Krebs available?
Yes, I'm Trish Krebs. Thank you for inviting us to join this meeting.
Would you like to provide any type of opening statement or acknowledgement in regards to where you currently stand in the process?
Okay, so, I am Trish Krebs, and my co-owner, Sharon Jones, is with me here. Sharon, did you want to speak first, or do you want me to speak?
Ms. Krebs, just to let you know, we cannot audibly hear Ms. Jones. So if she's in the room with you, please ask her to move closer.
I'm at Pima College, and she's I don't like to say. Okay, so anyways, well then I will speak. So okay, we have a LS Coding and Education Professional Medical Coding. It's primarily online. And so we've had a lot of challenges in our school and in the past couple of years. And so one of them, we had our server was down and we had a huge problem with that, but that was all back up and running. And then we've had some influx with employees and we've had some issues with some follow through on with students and so forth. And so I have, I'm a program director at Pima College. However, I do, I'm a co-owner of the medical coding school, and I do come to the school at some point every day and help the employees and so forth. And so we keep an open communication with the students via phone, via email, and it's all primarily online. And so these students do take we have many students that are at different points in the medical terminology in the CPC course. So we don't, we're not like semester based. They can enroll anytime. So and everyone's at, they work independently. So everyone's at different spots. So we did have a decrease in enrollment for a while after COVID and for the last year and a half. And in the past, like 2 months, we've had enrollment has increased. However, we have had some issues with some follow through, and I'm just trying to keep everyone, the students in good communication and, just to follow through with everything and to work with employees. So, we have students all over the United States. And so we do have office hours from 9 o'clock to 4 o'clock in our office in Tucson here. And there is a classroom there as well. So I'm
Ms. Kurtz, can I ask a couple questions?
Sure.
Okay. One, I know you'd mentioned that you are, I think, a program director at another school as well as trying to support this school. Is Ms. Jones 100% allocated to LS Coding Academy, or is this also a shared hourly experience?
So we're both co-owners. However, Sharon, you can probably answer that question. Is your mic working now?
I don't know. I called in. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I just called in on the phone, so that should work better. In the beginning, when we took over the school, I was actually dedicated to another employer, but at this point, that has been out for the last, year and a half now. So, I'm dedicated towards LS coding wholly. The thing is, I'm actually the instructor. I wanted to give a little insight, not to take over what Trish was talking about, but I know the main issue here was the fact that we were delayed in turning in the information that was requested, and there was no communication to the board or to the staff. And I just wanted to jump in on that because essentially I do take responsibility for that for the most part. I was dealing with a pretty traumatic life experience that I had, which took me to basically take a partial leave of absence. Essentially, I was given the option to relieve all my duties from the school other than teaching because I am the sole instructor. So that's what my main focus was during the last year and a half or so. And that's where it continues to be for me. However, I am jumping back on board and picking up the other duties that I was relieved of for the period of time. And that included the administrative portions, like stuff like this, for example, the renewals and whatnot. So I am coming back on full time, to take over those duties again. But my main focus for the last year and a half has been with our students.
Well, first, Ms. Jones, I'm sorry to hear that you're working through some of those struggles. Those can be very challenging at times, and we're certainly very empathetic to that particular piece of it. Could you maybe provide us with a little appreciation of what your current student count is right now?
Right now, currently, and actually we just started picking up from the beginning of the year. Our live course starts in the beginning of the year, so we always open enrollment we have online courses too, so we enroll students throughout the whole entire year, but I think right now, currently, we have approximately 96 new students that just registered, sorry about that, for the upcoming course, and then I believe we had 54 to 55 students that were currently in the online program already. And then, of course, some of those students are getting ready to complete the program. I would say about 40 of those are getting ready to complete the program, in which at point they would take their national exam in order to become certified.
Can you, since we don't have this information, and you may have provided it, but I'm just trying to get a little perspective here. Can you give me a sense of your organizational structure? Is it you and Ms. Krebs, and then who else that helps?
Correct. Yeah, it's a small, we're a small school, so there's Trish and myself, and then we have a full-time staff administrator, and we just picked up another part-time administrator. So those are the ones. Of course, there's going to be a learning curve for training. So that's all for us. Just the four of us are there.
Okay, that's helpful. So listen, I certainly understand the challenges associated, and it sounds like you could have even benefited from having a little more time off from that aspect. For us, right, we're trying to make sure the school is operating at the level that it should be and meeting all the timely expectations. And when information is delayed, it really throws a kink in the whole system, right? And so it leads us to other concerns, administrative capacity and ability to service the students as intended, and all of those other things that start to set alarms off for us, right? So this is not a good situation, given the license actually expired last month. Here the board's been trying to ask for this information for the past several months, and response has been slow. And certainly, Ms. Jones, as you articulated, you've had some personal issues that have kept you out. But Ms. Krebs, you also are part owner of this school, so you have that responsibility as well to make sure that you're meeting this. I'd like to, in this case, just because so much new information has come in, to really push this to the May meeting where we can evaluate it again. But I do want to be very clear and direct. If we get to the May meeting and we're still finding it to be very difficult to get information and closure on this, please understand you are at risk of us not renewing your license. And at that point, that's it. From that side, there's an appeal process and those types of things that can be gone through. But we, of course, want to avoid that if at all possible. So what I'm trying to implore to you is, now that you're back in the seat, let's please be as attentive as possible to the board staff's requests of information so that we can keep the school moving forward and make sure that we're meeting the students' needs as a whole. Are there any questions of clarity, Ms. Jones, from you, or Ms. Krebs from you?
Not for myself. Thank you. We actually appreciate that. And I can guarantee you that my focus would be any communication. From this point on, there should be no delay in communication from me whatsoever. That's coming from my own commitment. And then Trish, if you want to add for yourself.
Yes. And so I do have the option, because I more flexible schedule that, you know, Sharon is works more remotely, and I do come to the school every day. So, and to make sure that there's follow up with the students, and to make sure that if they have any questions that they're answered, and obviously to increase enrollment. So I'll continue to do that. And I say that's the way we have operated, because I do have a little bit more flexibility, because I have to work evening. So I do have some daytime. So that's why I'm able to be present during the day at Ellis Coding. So, and again, we will continue to report. Like I say, we've had a big influx of more students, and that's been awesome. And so we will, again, based on what the information Sharon gave you, and if there's any other questions about any updates, we're be happy to provide that to you from questions from the documents that were submitted. So if there's any questions, please feel free to reach out so we can follow up.
Can you at least confirm for us this morning that you did provide an updated surety bond reflecting an active date as well as a proof of liability insurance?
Yes, I did that. Sharon did, yes.
Okay, so those have been provided and the staff will be able to review. Dr. Leckett, looks like you have your hand up.
Yeah, I just would like to put out there, based on the challenges that you guys have been having for submitting materials to Arizona, you mentioned that you are online and enrolling people from other states, that you need to be doing that with those other states as well.
Yeah,
checking with those states to get licensed from those states.
Yes, we have those are obviously those have different termination dates or whatever, whatnot. So everything is contingent upon the approval of this license. So yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. So with that, we will postpone this matter to the May agenda. And we will look forward to the staff's review of your materials, your timely response to any follow-up questions, so that we can look to conclude this matter at the May meeting. Ms. Romano, are there any other questions or statements you would like to make before we move on?
No, Ms. Jones and Ms. Krebs, it's critical that you get back to us when we ask you the questions. And as a reminder to the board, the students that we're just talking about here, they're all, if the institution were to fail, all of those students, because they are a non-Title IV institution, that all of the students would be eligible under recovery fund. So there is a risk. So that's why it's critical that you respond when we ask. Again, I have not looked at any of the information you provided me this morning, but we will get on that as we march towards the May meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jones. Thank you, Ms. Krebs.
All right. Thank you. And thank you for your time and expertise with us.
Thank you. All right. We will move on to Pierce Scalise, and the lead is Mr. Wallace. Mr. Wallace, take it away.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Yeah. Okay, good. Good. I'm now at the telephonic only, but I've looked at this particular file. Is there any update from Mr. LaMountain or any management?
Mr. Wallace, members of the board, there's no additional updates. I did want to make sure that everyone understood that the GTR, the gross tuition revenue, was at zero. And if you recall from last year, this institution does not charge tuition. So that's why that number is there, and I'm sure Ms. Boyce can talk to any of that if you have any questions regarding that.
Okay. Do we have a representative of the school that wants to make any opening comments?
Hi. My name is Jacqueline Boyce, and I am the managing director for Perscolis in Phoenix, and I just want to begin by thanking the board for allowing us to have this conditional license last year. Since that time, we have been able to stand up two courses. One was an IT support course in October. We served 10 learners, 90% of those graduated in January, 78% certified, and we are currently at a 44% placement rate with us continuing to work to place the others. We were then also able to stand up a second course, a data center course, which served 15 learners, 14 of which graduated just two weeks ago with one already placed at an IT company. So so far the national model of Prescolis is working in Phoenix, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Neil, I looked at your financial information. It's strong. The other information you provided, I'm pleased with what I've seen. I guess the one question I have is, you know, it seems like you manage your business on a break-even basis. Is that a fair understanding?
So the local campus does have a annual budget that yes, we try to raise funds to meet that budget every year. However, the national organization does have significant financial reserves in the bank. And so although locally we do it on a break-even basis, we are raising to be able to weather any sort of financials ups and downs.
Okay. In that regard, I've seen the budget. 2001 was an extraordinary year. You had a substantial excess of revenues over expenses. Some of that's due to the PPC loan forgiveness. Is there any other comments that you have with regard to that that year, 2021?
No, I don't have any other comments.
All righty. I've seen what you have there. Do any of my fellow board members have any other questions?
I do have a couple, and I'll just kind of run through them pretty quickly. Ms. Boyce, you had mentioned a 40% placement for the students kind of going through. And so I'm trying to appreciate, given I think the whole intent is that, you know, employers are helping fund this for the students going through. And what do you associate, I guess, the 60% that aren't landing in positions a result of?
Yeah, so that October class completed at the end of January. So our benchmarks is to hit a 60% placement within 6 months and an 80% placement within 12 months. And so we are 3 months into the 6 months and are already at 44%, which is actually trending faster than our typical rates. We did see some slowdown just in general in hiring in Phoenix in Q1 and Q2, but we're hearing from employers that that's going to pick up over time. The overall placement rate for Prescolis Phoenix, which is actually the highest placement rate of any of our 22 cities, is a 95% placement rate. But I was just talking to the two courses that we launched on campus since we got our conditional license.
It's helpful. I know last year when we granted this license and appreciating kind of that, hey, there's no cost to the students in that. And we've since had a couple other institutions that have come through that have been no cost to students as well. And so we're continuing to ask deeper questions, one of which is in the enrollment agreement that is there for the student. It talks about the fact of the student doesn't have any costs, but they are expected to return the equipment that they've been given. And I'm wondering what the school's position is if a student does not end up returning that equipment, what the obligation is or what the action the school takes towards the student based upon that. Can you expound on that at all?
Yeah, so we email them, we call them, we text them, and if they don't return it, then we would take no further action than that, and just probably assume that they need it in order to get a job. Luckily here in Phoenix, we have never had that happen. I think our learners feel very bonded to our program, and usually when they have to leave, it's not because they want to, it's because something's gone on in their life. And so we haven't had a laptop not given back, but truly we would just email, call them, text them, and then after that we would just consider that a loss.
Okay. That's helpful. I think where I'm coming from with that is, if the school did ever decide to take some action on that, it's really unclear to the student upon entering that agreement what that obligation might otherwise be, right? Mm-hmm. So they're, of course, excited about the opportunity, not having to pay for their education. They receive in product, and then all of a sudden the laptop and other equipment they took possession of has a market value of $1,000, which the school then decides to go back on them to collect, and they're surprised by that. So I think I'm glad to hear that the school is not taking any action if equipment is not returned. While at the same time, if the school did, I would just ask the school to be very clear about that in the enrollment agreement so that the consumer can make the best decision for themselves.
Thank you. Excellent. And I know in our 25 years that we've been operating since we launched in the Bronx, we have never taken any action. So I don't think that philosophically that will change anytime soon. But I definitely hear you that if we do take that turn, that we need to be very clear in the agreement.
That's great. Thank you. And I'm glad to hear you have that philosophical approach to it, very student centric. So, and obviously it seems like a great program for the students in an area that's in demand. So thank you for that. No further questions for myself.
Thank you.
Any other board members? It doesn't appear so. Mr. Wallace.
I'd like to make a motion that move from a conditional licensing to a regular licensing status for the school, subject to the maintenance of the $15,000 performance bond.
I'll second. Dr. Luck.
Very good. Ms. LaMountain, will you take roll?
Dr. Luck.
Aye.
Dr. Luck votes aye. Mr. Romano.
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. By your vote of 4 ayes, no nays, no abstentions, the motion passes.
Congratulations, Ms. Boyce.
Thank you so much. And I just want to add, in hearing my other cities and when they work with their post-secondary staff, we are very blessed and very lucky in Arizona, we have the best staff, and I just want to thank Kevin and team for all of your help with this process.
We are very fortunate for them. Thank you. All right. With that, we will move on to our new applicants, AZ Pet Grooming Academy. Mr. Ball is the lead.
Good morning. Do we have a representative? I see Bill Mattson is there.
Yes, sir.
Sir, would you like to make an opening statement about your school?
I probably actually push that to my wife, Jamie Mattson, to let her make the opening statement.
Okay.
Oh, you're on mute.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jamie Mattson, and my husband and I are the owners of AZ Pet Grooming Academy. We are formulating this academy to provide an education to students to become professional pet stylists in the state of Arizona.
And how many students do you have right now?
We currently do not have any paying students. We have been doing a apprenticeship program with employees for the last 2 years. They are all currently working for our grooming salons.
Okay. It looks like your application is very complete, and so we appreciate that. I do have one question, and that is on the financials that you gave us. I see the balance sheet for Arizona Pet Grooming Academy, and then I see some financial statements for Twin. Is it Twin Tails?
Correct. Twin Tails.
What is the difference between the two?
I can step in for that. So since we haven't had any students for the Pet Grooming Academy, this is the new portion of it. Our main parent company is Twin Tails Cageless Grooming, which is our current pet grooming stores in Phoenix. And that is owned by us as well.
So is Arizona Pet Grooming going to be like a subsidiary of Twin or part of Twin?
It's its own entity, obviously, but yes, it's going to work kind of together a little bit with the schools for job placement and things like that.
Okay. And so looks like you just formed it somewhere around April 4th. You put some cash in there and some equity.
Correct.
That's right. Okay.
Correct. Yes, sir.
It looks like Twins is profitable.
Yes, sir.
And your application was complete. So I'm just going to ask any other board members, do they have any questions?
This is Mike Romano. In reviewing the materials, I was a little unclear. There's a place where the tuition's $11,199 and a place where the tuition is $11,699. I may have just misunderstood, or maybe I was looking at something outdated. I just wanted to confirm that there is only one tuition, or are there two tuitions?
Yes, there is only the one tuition, $9,500, $199 for the application fee, and then the tools are
$1,500. Okay. All right. I should have marked down where I saw that that difference. But if we could, just a note, just to take a look and make sure the catalog and the enrollment agreement are consistent in that call out of the total tuition. Appreciate that. That was all I had.
Any other questions from the board members? Okay, hearing none, I will make a motion to approve the conditional non-accredited degree program with the stipulation that the $15,000 surety bond be maintained.
This is Dr. Leck, I'll second.
And so Mr. Mattson or Ms. Mattson, do you agree to maintain that surety bond?
Yes, we do.
Okay, thank you. You want to take a roll?
Dr. Leck.
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Romano.
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Mr. Ball. Mr. Ball. You're on mute, Mr. Ball.
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Mr. Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. By your four ayes, no nays, that motion passes.
Congratulations, Mr. and Mrs. Mattson.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and we'll move on to our last school for consideration here, Home Building Academy, with Dr. Leck as the lead.
Thank you, Mr. Romano. Mr. LaMountain, do you have anything that you would like to add?
No additional information. I did put, I believe, one or two different financial statements in the folder. I also would like to state that Mr. Mall and the Home Building Academy and everyone there has been a pleasure to work with on our end. This was put together in a relatively short period of time, and they have been very cooperative and, again, pleasure to work with them. Outside of that, that's it.
Thank you, sir. All right. Mr. Mall, would you like to make an opening statement?
I would be happy to. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, board members. My name is Jack Mall. I'm the CEO of the Home Builders Association of Central Arizona and the secretary of the Home Builders Care Board. I'm joined on the call today by Connie Wilhelm, the recently retired CEO of the Home Builders Association of Central Arizona and the treasurer of the Home Builders Care Board of Directors. I'm also joined by Alex Gomez from the Home Builder Institute, which is the partnered operator of the Home Building Academy, and Robert Hall from Your Part-Time Controller, who's our third-party CFO slash controller. And we're excited to share with you our vision for the Home Building Academy. As the CEO of the Home Builders Association of Central Arizona, we hear every month from our division presidents of all of the builders around Phoenix about the lack of trained labor in the construction industry. Through our charity, Home Builders Care, we've had a variety of initiatives in the workforce development space. About 2 years ago, Connie decided that it was time to bring a full-scale training academy to market that specializes in residential construction, thus the Home Building Academy. Fortunately, we were able to secure partnerships with the Home Builder Institute as the operator of the academy. They will provide all of the instructors and the curriculum. And we also found a great partner in Maricopa County by being awarded a workforce development grant, which is largely how the startup funding for this academy is being done. The program will consist of 9 weeks of full-time training, resulting in pre-apprenticeship certificate training in either carpentry or electrical. There is no cost to the student to enroll. In addition to the certificate, they will also receive a stipend while enrolled and then leave the program upon completion with tools, boots, personal protective equipment, and work clothes, basically everything that they need to be career ready. Our intention is to bring in our member companies from the Home Builders Association as the employers of the graduates of the academy, and we, of course, wanted them to be able to start work right away. Now we're before you asking for the proper license to begin our classes, and we respectfully request your approval.
Thank you. I think you answered one of the questions I have, but I'll just start with your catalog. I only have a few questions. In your admissions requirements, I just noticed that you don't have a requirement for a high school diploma. I just wanted to verify that. It's just something that we don't typically see, so I just wanted to make sure that was correct.
We do not currently require a high school diploma, no.
Okay, thank you. And then I always wonder how attendance works when it's a percentage of a period of time, right? So your program is 9 weeks long, and if they don't attend 95%, so, you know, sometimes that'll end up in the middle of the day or a third of a day. But what also happens if someone doesn't attend at 95%? Do you let them go? Are they... Or, you know what I mean? Like, if they do 90%, what do?
Yeah, so if, and Alex, who's on from the Home Building Academy, can perhaps shed some additional light on this. But what we anticipate happening is that if they did not maintain the required attendance, that first they would be notified of need to correct that attendance. But then ultimately, yes, we would have to release them from the program in large part because of the stipend. That's part of the conditions of being enrolled. Now, given that, if there was some extenuating circumstance or so forth, they would potentially have the opportunity to re-enroll. And the way that the re-enrollment would work is that they would be re-enrolled at the point in the program where they were released. So, for instance, if you completed the introductory program and completed the initial PACT part of the program and had begun, say, the, you know, carpentry-specific part of the program, that you would be re-enrolled then at that 5 or 6 weeks or wherever it was that you had left the program.
Okay. And is there any responsibility back to the Maricopa for the workforce money that's coming in for that person if they leave?
Connie, I don't – do you know the answer to that question?
I do not believe that there is.
Okay. All right, curious. Is there a cap on the number of people that can come in? I'm assuming that's based on the total workforce dollars that you have to work with.
That, and then also just there's a student-teacher ratio that we try to maintain since we're doing construction activities. We need that for safety purposes.
That makes sense. Okay. All right. And then I'm not the financial person on this call. I'm the academic, but I'm assuming when you said 2 years ago that you started the academy and the fact that you have receivables on the account is this was a late catch, Kevin, as far as licensing is concerned?
Dr. Leck and members of the board, yes, it was a late catch. That's why we're very thankful that we got everything straightened out and put together and been very cooperative since.
Yeah.
And so, just to be clear, it was a late catch, but we had not yet begun enrolling students. We were still right in the process of building out the academy. It was during the course of our legal review on all the documents and so forth that we came to realize the need for the licensure. And so then, as Mr. LaMountain indicated, we worked very diligently to try to get that done, and we probably would not have been able to do that without the assistance and the cooperation, and most importantly, the communication from your staff. They were incredibly helpful to try to work through this in such a tight time frame.
Got it. Thank you. My question comes in, if there wasn't any students, where are those receivables coming from?
Part of the grant is for the build out of the facility. And so we've been expending and receiving for the build out of the facility.
Okay, got it. Okay. That's all the questions I have, if another board member has any.
Yeah, this is Michael Romano. Similar to the question that I asked earlier and looking at the enrollment agreement side of it, it does look as though the school will provide the student with some materials, maybe books, supplies, and possibly even other tools. Is that the case, first and foremost?
So, yes. Let me explain this. So there is a component of this that's classroom related. So there will be textbooks and so forth that will be provided at the facility itself. Then there's also some online learning that is done with iPads that are available to be checked out. Our anticipation is that those would all be returned before the students leave each and every day. They will also be provided with tools during the shop portion, the hands-on portion of the training. Again, those tools would be required to be returned. They would, however, upon graduation, leave with a set of tools and boots and PPE and so forth. But given the earlier conversation, I do certainly understand that we need to be abundantly clear about what the procedure would be if students did not return those, or that they somehow those walked away in some fashion.
Well, it sounds like, if I'm understanding correctly, you're assigning those out during class time, not providing those for take-home purposes. Is that an accurate statement?
That is my understanding. Alex, if I've misspoken, please let me know.
You're absolutely correct.
Okay. No, that's good. I would assume if somebody walked away, that would be a disciplinary action, which could result in some other piece. But no, that's great to understand. And what a great gift upon graduation of completion of the program. That's tremendous. So fantastic from that standpoint. That was all the questions I had, Dr. Leck.
Thank you, Mr. Romano. Does any other board members have any questions? Oh, sorry, Keith. Hi, you want to go ahead, Keith?
You forgot about me already.
I know, sorry. Sorry.
I just wanted to say, I talked to Kevin yesterday, and of course, I met Mr. At the facility. It's impressive, the size of the building, the construction that's been done already. They already have roof portions that are chest high for students to work on. They've already prefab different areas for drywall, and all that stuff's already been done. It was impressive, and it's a huge facility. They have already staff that was there working. So anyway, my hat's off how much work you guys have done in a short period of time. Thank you.
Thanks, Keith. All right, I'm not seeing or hearing any other board members, so I'll turn it back over to you, Mr. Romano.
Well, I'll turn it back over to you, Dr. Lark. Would you like to make a motion?
Oh, yes. I'm so sorry. That is part of this process.
That's okay. I think they would like their licensure.
I'm going senile. Okay. I'd like to make a motion to approve the conditional non-accredited degree program license application with the stipulation that the $15,000 surety bond is maintained.
Do we have a second for that?
This is Doug. I'll second it.
Mr. Ball, thank you. Any further discussion? Mr. Ball, does the school agree to the maintaining or establishing the surety bond?
We
15,000.
Do.
Great. Okay. With that, Mr. LaMountain, would you like to take roll?
Dr. Leck.
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. By the vote of 4 ayes, no nays, that motion passes.
Congratulations, and go build our city bigger.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your consideration.
Thank you. Have a good day. All right, with that, we will move to item number, actually, I believe it should be 8 on our agenda, unless I'm missing anything, but so I'm just gonna say, call the public. If you have a desire to make a statement, you are more than welcome to, just please raise your hand. We encourage the public to participate. Please know that we will keep presentations limited to 5 minutes or less. And be aware that, however, that the committee may not discuss, consider, or take action at this meeting on any item that is not scheduled on the agenda. During the meeting, additional public comment may be requested, but is generally not allowed. So with that, Mr. LaMountain, do we have anyone looking to make a statement or comment?
I do not see anybody, but I want to double check. I know Mr. Lockhart, are you still on?
I did not see him in there, nor Ms. Cardullo. So if I could, am I able to step out for a moment and myself as Michael Romano make just a public statement very briefly?
I think we may have.
I'm here.
Mr. Lockhart.
Mr. Lockhart, please. If you would like to say anything, I think we would like to take a moment to acknowledge you, but please. Well,
thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the board. I've been honored to have served in my capacity for the past 25 years, and I'm just thrilled to report that Susan Cardullo is now the new executive director of the Arizona Private School Association. We could not have asked for a better candidate to have come up through the ranks. Susan has served in every capacity on APSA board for the past 19 years. It's just a fitting exchange. And I invite you all to come and visit both me and say goodbye and to welcome Susan on May the 12th at our annual conference. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the board, thank you all for your service, and I will miss you all terribly.
Well, Mr. Lockhart, I would like to say we just appreciate your engagement over the past 20-plus years in regards to participation, helping guide and direct many schools that have started in the business and what that looks like and just helping nurture them as best as possible. You are a true testament to an individual who continues to give back to the community. And I wanted to make sure that we at least took a moment to acknowledge you here in this setting for all those years of contribution. So thank you very much, sir. We respect and appreciate you immensely, and we wish you nothing but the best as you move into your better years here of enjoyment.
Thank you kindly, sir.
I see we have a hand up from an old board member, Mr. Tharp.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me?
We can. If you would just speak up a little louder.
Yeah, just give me one second. I'll make it
even better. Is that better?
That is much better.
Yeah. That is much better.
Fair winds and following seas to Fred. We've been together for 25 years in this thing, so we're going to wish them well. But the one of the statements I want to make just to any of the school groups on the call is this board, which is in my mind, not just because I served on it before, but a very, very important board for our state, for consumers and protection, is up for sunset review. So I would just encourage everybody to write letters of support and submit them as this board goes through that sunset review. That's all.
Thank you. Any other additional comments from the public? All right. Hearing none, I will officially adjourn the meeting at 11:10 a.m. on April 27, 2023. Thank you very much, and everyone have a wonderful remainder of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you.